This morning I will be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. That's Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now this morning, as we hear these words, we are reminded of several things. We hear justification, we hear grace, we hear sin. We hear that all have fallen short of God's glory because of mistakes that we've made. And we also hear that in the past that He had looked over those things, but at this point we're acknowledging that those sins have been made. I had a conversation with somebody this week that is really a common type of conversation that I have. And you probably all have had the same conversation. If you've not had it, you've heard it. And it's, well, I don't go to church because I don't want to sit in church with a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, think about it. I mean, and I see some people laughing back here. If you have heard that, please raise your hand. So almost every one of us in here have heard that I don't want to go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. I know those people. Whenever they go to church on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday, and they do things that they probably ought not be doing. Or I've seen how they respond whenever they get mad about something. Or I'm around them too much. I know they're buried skeletons. I know who they used to be. Well, brothers and sisters, if you know who I used to be, I wouldn't be a preacher today. But the Lord knows, and the Lord has brought me to this point. And the Lord brings us all to a certain point. Now, I told this story several years ago here, but it came back to me, so I want to kind of tell it again. It was about a guy who was thinking about religion, thinking about going to church. But he told his friend, he said, I just can't go to church because every Sunday I can't go to a place that there are a bunch of sinners and a bunch of hypocrites, because those people are just not like me. I can't go to church and hang out with people that are not perfect, because church is a place for perfect people. He felt like every person he knew that went to church was not perfect. And since he himself was not a sinner, he couldn't go to church. So his friend was telling him, and I'm sure you'll remember this story, his friend told him about hearing about this new church. There was application for membership only into the church, and that you had to be perfect, that you had to have never committed a sin, and that once you filled out your application, a committee would look at it, and if you met those requirements, then you could go. And you had to fill it out on a website. Well, he did it, filled out the application. He was happy because everything was perfect that he filled out about himself. And then when he walked through the doors on that church on Sunday morning, the church was absolutely empty. Not even a preacher, because there's no person out here that is not perfect. I mean, there's no person out here that is perfect. There is no place to where you can go to a church on Sunday morning and not find sinners. I mean, who am I to say that none of us in here have sinned. I mean, we heard it in the scripture this morning that all have sinned, all have fallen short of God's glory. None of us are a perfect people. We all make mistakes. We all make decisions that don't necessarily reflect our spiritual belief. We're not a perfect people, but we do serve a perfect God. And that's what Paul is trying to get through this morning to the people that he is speaking of. Paul is speaking to the people and declaring that Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, Christ on the cross, atoned the sin of human beings through his death. And reminds every person who listened then, and reminds every person who listens today, that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And that if we had to depend on our own works, our own perfection, our own goodness to get to heaven, then none of us would ever get there. That's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is trying to help people understand. That it is only through the gracious mercy of our Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally that we are deemed worthy. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves any better in His sight. Because our God loves us. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die and be raised again that we might have a hope, that we might be forgiven, not because we deserve it. I mean, think about it. Whenever Jesus came into the city, they beat him, they whipped him, where 7 days earlier they were praising him, "Oh, you're the greatest thing." And then he comes into the city 7 days later and they torture him, make him carry his own cross up a hill, nail him to a cross, and God still loves us, and we're those people? It's because God has an unconditional love for each one of us. Now, when we think about this issue of coming to church, I mean, and I hear it all the time. I hear that all the time, and I hear people say, "Well, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian." I hear people say that I don't want to hang out around those people because I know who they are. And then I also hear people say, "You know what? If God only knew what I've done, then I could never be there in that church. So I'm ashamed of what I've done in my past. So I can't be there in that church." Because if the people in church found out what I've done, maybe if they found out my criminal record, or maybe they found out my addiction, or they found out the places that I've made mistakes, or found out the way that I've not been obedient, then they would throw me out of the church. Or maybe because I look different, I'm different than they are, then they wouldn't have me in the church. Well, brothers and sisters, when we come to church on Sunday mornings, we're sitting right beside people that are just like us. No matter where you are in your life journey, no matter what you've done in your past, you're sitting beside people that are just like you. People that struggle on their journey in life, on their spiritual journey, people that have made mistakes, people that will continue to make mistakes, but people who desire to grow in their faith. The people that we sit by do not claim to be perfect, or at least we shouldn't claim to be perfect. We claim that we are sinners. We claim that we have fallen short of God's glory. And we acknowledge that the only reason that we can be here and that we have any hope is because of God's grace and mercy. We remember that we are a work in progress. We're not perfect. We're a work in progress. Whether it comes to where we are with our daily scriptural reading, whether it be with how we forgive people. And I think that's probably one of the things, and that's a whole other sermon, about how we struggle with forgiveness. How is it that we forgive people that hurt us? How is it that we love people that hurt us? How is it that we model the love of Christ in every part of our lives? And there's not a single one of us in here that are perfect at that. We're growing together. And what church does is it gives us that place to grow together. It gives us that place to lean on each other's shoulders. It gives us that place to where we know that we have people praying for us and helping us out on this journey, this spiritual journey, this life journey. Because we are a work in progress. We're still going to make mistakes because we're human beings. But we still hear the excuse that either I'm perfect and I can't go sit with those people, or I have sinned far too much and I can't go sit in that church. I'm going to tell you, you might be pulling the wool over somebody's eyes, but God's into that trick. He has heard it all. So if you want to use that excuse, that's fine. It's kind of like telling a story to your parents. When you were a kid, trying not to get caught doing something. It probably didn't take but about once or twice, and your parents caught on to it, and they knew the truth, and you were still trying to use that same old story. It don't work that way. God knows. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. He knows those places that you're imperfect. And you know what? He still loves you. Just like your parents still loved you when you made a mistake. I mean, you could have done something horrible. Your parents still love you. God still loves you, no matter what. And will always love you. There's nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God. Now, He can be disappointed. And He can want you to be more obedient, more humbled, more submitted, and to grow. That's what we're talking about, that growth. But there's nothing that you can do. Not life, not death, not powers, not principalities. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, those that think they're perfect, though, they seem to trivialize, marginalize, rationalize their mistakes. And they try to say, you know what? I'm really a good person because I haven't done anything real bad, like murder or stealing or adultery. I've not done anything real bad like that, so I'm really a good person. But in the process of trivializing things, marginalizing things like that, they're judging others. They're slow to forgive, and they're not fully surrendered to the Lord because they don't quite get it. If they think they're perfect, then they hadn't been reading the book. If they think they're perfect, then they hadn't been listening. If they think they're perfect, then they have not yet been humbled. And I can promise you, the Lord will humble them at some point. And when we think about those people, probably one of the best places to go for some advice is in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 18, when Jesus was, or the rich young man came to Jesus. I mean, think about it, this rich, prosperous young man had everything he wanted. And he basically came to Jesus and said, what commands do I have to follow to get to heaven? What commands do I have to follow to be good or to be on the good list? And he said, what and which commands do I have to follow? Not all of them. And essentially what he was asking is, what's the least that I have to do to be on that good list? What's the least that I have to do? Because he wanted to be selected, looking for what he needed to get by. And Jesus told him to give up everything that he had and to change the way that he was going. Even though he had done some really good things and he had never done anything really bad. Sin is sin. Being focused on the world is being focused on the world, is not focused on God. I mean, the disciples even said that, you know, how could anyone be saved? The disciples said, how could anyone be saved if they had to follow all the commands and give up everything for God? I mean, Jesus said that it was impossible to give up everything and to follow every command to perfection, but to remember that all things are possible in God and that we are a work in progress. And as Methodist people, our theology is based on the means of grace, three graces. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. That really outlines our spiritual journey about who we are. Prevenient grace is that grace that we have because God loves us when we're born. So God puts His grace upon us, acknowledging that we are created in His image, acknowledging that He loves us, and putting His stamp on you right up front, that I love you, you are my child. And then we have that justifying grace, whenever we basically wake up one day and realize, you know what? I need God in my life. I can't do it without God, so I want to get better. So that is where most of us are, is at that point of justification where we have said, yes, Lord, we want you. Yes, Lord, we need you in our lives. Yes, Lord, we want to be obedient. And then sanctification is that journey to being made perfect in love. And that's where that journey is, where we get better at it over time. We get better at it as we grow deeper in our faith. But there are still those places where we have those thoughts cross our minds that may not be quite so perfect. But none of us are perfect. And that's okay. It's okay because that perfection is a barrier. If we communicate to everybody that we must be perfect, and we communicate to everybody that church is a place for perfect people, then people are not going to come to church. I mean, why would a church seeker who wants to show up and visit on a Sunday morning, why would they go to a place where, since they were outsiders, they felt like they were not perfect or didn't fit in? Why would a person exploring God's call in their life go to a church if they felt like they didn't meet the standards? Or why would a person who felt like they were perfect go to a place where they felt there were a lot of imperfect people? God loves people where they are. God loves people just like they are. And our challenge as a body of Christ, when we were commissioned to go out to make disciples, and we were commanded to love God and to love our neighbor, our charge is to reach all people in the language of love, through teaching, through serving, and through worshiping. Because we are an imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God, and our God will guide our steps. We're still going to make mistakes, but God's still going to love us. And we still have to be open. We have to stand ready to receive what God has in store for us. We have to think about how Jesus did it. Instead of placing ourselves up on this pedestal, not saying that we do, but there are so many people in this world that do that. Think about who Jesus hung out with. He befriended tax collectors, ate with sinners, people who committed adultery, and other people of questionable moral character. This is who Jesus was. And he did it because God's grace is available to all people, not a select few. We have all received God's forgiveness through the unmerited gift of grace from God. Every one of us sinned, and every one of us is imperfect. We must trust in God to take away our every sin. We must submit ourselves humbly before the cross as we recall the sacrifice that our Savior made. Perfect? Well, we're not that. But each day, our intention can be to grow more obedient. Our intention can be to grow more obedient. So today, what I would say is to take this message of imperfection, this message of falling short of God's glory, take it to somebody today and invite them to church. And ask them, if you want to go to a place and be surrounded by people just like you are, then come to church with me next Sunday or the next Sunday. Because church is a place where those who earnestly seek to repent of their sins come together. Church is not a place for the perfect. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.